Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your presence is heaven to me. Thank you, Jesus. Do you love his presence? I do love the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence. Your presence. It's good to be in one another's presence, but there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Some people want to be in the presence of the President of the United States of America. Some people want to be present with some famous person. But to me, nothing is better than the presence of the Lord. His presence. His presence. Nothing like his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just wait a moment on you. Just have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way in this place today. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name, have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way. Have your way. I want to do a second sermon on this series, Overcoming Unbelief. Overcoming Unbelief. There was a time in my life when I had a whole lot of unbelief to overcome. And my unbelief was for different reasons. Some of the unbelief was for a lack of knowing the word of God. Some unbelief came out of fear. Fear of man, what man would say, what man would think. But there was unbelief in my life I had to overcome. We can have faith and unbelief at the same time. And sometimes we want to think we're so full of faith that we don't have any unbelief. And so we don't recognize there's unbelief. And when we don't recognize something, we can't deal with it. The only way to deal with unbelief, we got to recognize that we have unbelief. We talked last time about how the gentleman that had the son that had epilepsy, the disciples couldn't cure him. Jesus and Peter, James, and John was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And 9 other disciples were trying to cast the demon out of the young boy, but the demon wouldn't come out. And then when they asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast them out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And it wasn't because they hadn't cast out many demons and healed people before, they had. Jesus had gave them power to do it. But this particular time, it did not work for them because of unbelief. Because of their unbelief. So today's sermon is less unbelief. Less unbelief. I realized I had to have less unbelief to get my back healed. I realized if I was going to pray for the sick, I had to have less unbelief. A lot of times we're not walking in the things of God because we got so much unbelief. We're not believing. And so fear would cause us not to believe. I'm going to tell you a story today that Andrew Womack told about himself. And he also told a story about Smith Wigglesworth. And I had read books on Smith Wigglesworth before, so I had already heard this story before too. But Andrew's story is this. He had seen somebody raised from the dead. He had prayed for somebody, they had been raised from the dead. I think it was his son had been raised from the dead. So because he had seen his son raised from the dead, he was pumped with faith. He had a lot of faith. He went to this service and there was a man there in a wheelchair. And he thought, well, I raised somebody dead, so getting somebody out of a wheelchair ought to be a piece of cake. Ought not be no problem. So Andrew went over and took the man and pulled him out of the wheelchair. And I guess it said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And the man fell. He didn't walk. So when a man fell and didn't walk, Andrew says he became full of fear because people gasped. What if I told Donna Ray, come up here and in the name of Jesus be healed, but saw something's wrong with him? And if people don't see him get healed when I say that, if he's in a wheelchair and he can't walk and he falls, everybody gonna say, oh my goodness, you know? And that could cause unbelief. So Andrew didn't get the man healed because of unbelief. This is a story that I really like, the story about Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know if y'all read anything about Smith Wigglesworth or not. But Smith Wigglesworth were not like you and me. Far from it. He was not like you and me. And this particular time, well, every time Smith Wigglesworth would have a service, he would say the first person that comes up and get prayed for is going to be healed. He would say that before anybody came for. He would say that without knowing who was going to come for. He would say that because he believed. He didn't have any doubt. And every time the first person that came forth got healed. And so two ladies brought their friend up. And the friend had a big tumor in her stomach. And they brought her to the stage. And Smith Wigglesworth said, let her go. And they complained a little bit. She can't let her go. She can't stand it on. He said, let her go. They said, they let her go. She fell over head first on the tumor. He said, pick her up. They picked her up. Then he said again, let her go. By this time, the crowd is thinking, you know, why don't you leave the poor woman alone? You know, you see what happened. Why are you going to tell them to let her go again? She can't walk. She got that tumor. And the women complained. They said, if we let her, we can't let her go. And so he said, let her go. They let go. Lady fell over on that tumor second time. They picked her up. He said, pick her up. They picked her up. And then he said for the third time, let her go. They said, we can't let her go. She can't stand. We can't let her go. Some woman in the audience said, let that woman alone. Let that poor woman alone. Smith Wigglesworth said, I know my business. Won't you mind your business? And he turned to the women, he said, let her go. The third time when they let the woman go, the tumor fell out of the woman's belly. And the woman went off healed. I know some of y'all probably don't believe that story. It's hard to believe some things unless you see it with your own eyes. Then you know what? Some people don't even believe what they see with their own eyes. Jesus said, told the people that though they see one raised from the dead, they still will not believe. So Andrew concluded that Smith Wigglesworth had less unbelief. He didn't have more faith than Andrew. He just had less unbelief. So what about us? Do we think Andrew Womack or Smith Wigglesworth have any more faith than we do? Mm-mm. We all have the measure of faith. But guess what? We probably got more what? Unbelief. I have less unbelief now than I had before I went to Carriage Bible College. When I went to Carriage Bible College, I had a whole lot of unbelief because I didn't know the Word of God. As I began to walk in the Word of God, I had less unbelief, not more faith, less unbelief. When I was trying to get my wanted healing for my back on my left side, and I couldn't seem to, I told y'all about it, I couldn't seem to keep my healing. People would pray for me, but the back wasn't healed, the pain would come back. And the problem was I had too much unbelief. So what I had to do was get in the word of God, renew my mind with the word of God, and the word of God got rid of the unbelief I had. So I was able to then receive healing for my back. So what was the difference between Andrew and Smith Wigglesworth? They both had faith. But Smith Wigglesworth was not swayed by people's opinions. He wasn't swayed by the crowd and what the crowd's opinion was. When that woman fell, probably he might have been the only person in the room that believed the lady would healing would come. It would manifest. The crowd didn't believe. The women holding the lady didn't believe. But he believed. It's amazing how we can stand on the word of God and we might be the only one believing, the only one that's not doubting. But I've learned this, God just needs one person. He doesn't necessarily need a whole crew of people. He just needs one person that's going to believe. One person that's willing to stand on the word of God. One person that's not willing to allow other people's opinions sway them and stop them. Just one person that will believe and not doubt. And not doubt. Jesus said, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we could say to the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea. And if we don't doubt in our heart, but believe what we say will come to pass, we can have whatsoever we say. If we just don't doubt. 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 If we just don't doubt, but just believe. If we let our faith be stronger, the thing we hold on to, and not the unbelief. Not the unbelief. We all have to face unbelief. We all have to face doubt. We all have situations. We all have things we have to face in life and go through. But I believe this, everything we need, everything that may come up in our life, God has already provided it for us. It's already there. We just have to believe and not doubt. Get rid of the unbelief and walk in our faith that has been given us. And it's a day-to-day process. We are learning. We are learning. And not everybody's at the same place. Someone's able to manifest more of their faith than others. We're learning. Less unbelief. Less unbelief. John 5:44 says this. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? When we are worried about looking good in the sight of people, it can hinder our faith. We all been there. I've been worried about, what they gonna say if I pray for somebody that don't get healed. Probably still think about that. What are people gonna say if I say I'm healed and I still look sick or there's pain still there? So we're more worried about people than what God is saying. We're more worried about how they're gonna look at us. We're worried about the honor that comes from man and not that honor that comes from God. We got to stop worrying about what people are going to say, what people are going to think, because it will hinder our faith. It will hinder our faith. It will make it ineffective, like I said last week. So what do we need to do? Drain your unbelief to zero. Drain your unbelief to zero. Realize you got some unbelief and drain it to zero. Starve the unbelief and feed your faith. Starve the unbelief and feed your faith. Feed your faith the word of God. Feed your faith by spending time with Jesus. I've been reading and meditating on John 5:30. And I'm seeing stuff I hadn't seen before up there. And Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I seek not my will, but the will of him who sent me. I did like Dan say we need to do. You need to look up some words. So I looked up judge. You know what judge means? It means decide. So Jesus is saying, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I decide. And my decisions are righteous because I don't seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. As I hear from the word of God, as I hear from the Father, as I spend time with him, as the Holy Spirit prompts me, as the Holy Spirit quickens me, as the word of God quickens me on the inside, then I make my decision. I don't make my decision on the opinions of others. I don't decide because of how others might think about it. But my decisions are based on what I hear from the Father, what I hear in his word, what I hear from Holy Spirit. Then I make my decision. And my decision is righteous because my decision is based on the word of God and not on somebody else's opinion. Opinions will kill you. Opinions will keep you in failure. Opinions will keep you and hold you back. But get rid of other people's opinion and say, okay, what does the Lord say about this? What does the word of God say about this? I've heard what the doctor says, but what does God say? Sometimes you have to disregard the opinions of the doctor and say, okay, Lord, I heard what the doctor said. Now, Holy Spirit, what do you say? What do you say, God? I heard what somebody else said, but God, what do you say? And the more we put our eyes on him and what he says, the more faith we are having in action and less unbelief. It's amazing how much faith God has given us, the faith we need. It's the grain of mustard seed, all the faith we need. But we have to believe and have faith in what God has said. And not all the unbelief, not all the past failures, not all the past stuff we thought about ourselves. Less unbelief. Our faith works when the unbelief goes to zero. When our unbelief goes to zero. So drain your unbelief to zero. Jesus told the disciples that one way to get rid of unbelief was to fast. God's fasting drains or gets rid of unbelief. Most of us believe that God has already supplied what we needed. But it's not a lack of faith that we need have, but because of our unbelief. Faith is the bridge. You know, a bridge gets you from one place to another. If I'm over here and what I need is over here, and there's something in between and separated me from what I need, then I need a bridge. I need something to take me from here to here. Faith does that. Faith takes us from needing something to actually receiving what's ours. Put your faith to work. Allow the faith in you to receive what God has given you. Because what? Your faith, my faith, is the bridge that brings God's provisions from the spiritual world over into the physical world. As Christians, we have the supernatural faith of God, but most believers haven't yet realized or dealt with their unbelief. So what is unbelief? It could be worry. It could be fear. It could be care. If the doctor told you that you had a serious illness and you started confessing, Jesus, by your stripes, I'm healed, But in your mind, you're still worried. That's being double-minded. According to James 1, 7, and 8, a double-minded person won't receive anything from God. I remember when I was believing for, I sold my house in Wilson last year. And I remember when we bought that house. Me and my husband lived in Saratoga. We bought a house in Wilson. And it was a larger house than what we had in Saratoga. And it cost more. And my husband was on disability, but I was working. But I wasn't making that much at that particular time. I wasn't teaching yet. And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And the Holy Spirit saying, get ready to move. So I believe what God said. I started getting ready to move. And then God showed us the house we were going to move to. Then we started making preparations for the house. And the enemy bombarded my mind trying to get me to doubt and stop believing what God had said to me. Don't put the bad ones in here, man. These here are a new battery.
Testing. Okay, we're working. Testing.
Eve, did you pause this recorder? well, that recorder is messed up now because I don't know how to edit it. So that's okay. So according to James, we are double-minded people when we believe one thing and then think another. You know, we've taken those thoughts and we believe that we're going to receive, then we believe we're not going to receive. We believe we're free, then we believe we're not free. So that's double-mindedness. And I've already went over Mark 11, 23 and 24. So we can't believe and be saying and doing some things right and have a split heart. To get the results you're after. You must be single-minded and focused. You must be single-minded and focused. Let's look at Abraham. I like studying what Abraham did because Abraham considered not. Romans 4, 16 through 25, Abraham didn't allow himself to think on anything contrary to what God had told him. He was strong in faith because the promise of God was all he considered. Did you not know you can't be tempted by something you don't think? Therefore, overcoming temptation, unbelief, and failure begins in our thought life. What are you thinking? What do you think about most? If you need healing, do you think most about you're not going to be healed? If you need finances, do you think about what you're not going to get because you don't have enough finances? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Because you can't be tempted by something you don't think. Therefore, overcoming temptation, unbelief, and failure begins in your thought life. Joyce Meyer said it's a battlefield of the mind. Matthew 6:31 says this, therefore, Jesus said, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or whither shall we be clothed? Take no thought saying. How do you not think all this negative stuff? Don't take it. Don't say it. Take no thought saying. In order to take it, you got to say it. You got to start meditating on it. So Jesus said, take no thought saying. So Abraham didn't consider. He didn't study. He didn't ponder. He didn't deliberate. He didn't examine his own body. He didn't think about, I'm too old to have children. He didn't think about, Sarah's too old to have children. He didn't think about, she didn't have a baby when she was young. How's she going to have a baby now? He didn't think about all that. He considered not. He didn't consider his body. He didn't consider her body. Only thing he considered was the word of God. That's the only thing he thought about was the word of God. Does that mean that those thoughts didn't cross his mind? They crossed his mind, but he didn't take it. He didn't take the thought saying. A lot of things might cross your mind, but don't consider it. Don't take it. Don't ponder it. Instead, do what? Take the word of God. What does the word of God say about that? Don't take what the enemy is putting in your mind. Don't think about what other people are saying. But what is God saying? Take thought to the word of God. Consider the word of God. And then eventually the unbelief will not settle there. Unbelief comes through your thought process. It comes through your thought process. How do we activate our faith? Same way. Meditating on the word of God. Thinking on the word of God. Pondering the word of God. Considering the word of God. Allowing the word of God to become what? First place in your thought life. First place in what you think about. It should be that when we get up in the morning, we are so full of the word of God, the first thing we think about is the word of God. Sometimes when I get up in the morning, I get up with a song singing in my mind. This worship song or something be going over and over in my mind. Same thing is true, though. Whatever I went to bed with that night, that could be on my mind, too. So we have to live a separated life. We have to live a separated life. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says this. Paul said this. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So there are some things in themselves. I mean, it's not wrong. It's not a sin. But is it going to help you in your spiritual walk? Is it going to bring you closer to God or farther away from him? I heard someone say that one time, when you think about buying something, when you think about doing something, buying a new, some new equipment, buying some new this or that, the other, or maybe getting a bigger house or something like that. Think about this. Is that house going to be so much to maintain that I don't have time for the Lord? That I don't have time for the word? How's it going to be? You know, so living a separated life means, okay, even though it's not wrong for me to have this, but is it going to be helpful to me in my relationship with the Lord? Is it going to take me away from him or to him? Am I going to have more time for him or less time for him? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I won't allow things to take over that place that belongs to the Lord. That makes me think about how much do we love the Lord then? Do we love him more than things? If we lost everything, will we still love him? If it seemed like we didn't have what we have now, will we still love him? Who's most important? Is it Jesus? I was thinking about that this morning, and I was saying, Jesus, you're more important than the sermon I'm preaching today. You're more important than ministry. You're more important than anything. I put you first. I don't ever want to be in a position, because that opened the door to unbelief when we do that. I don't ever want to be in a position where I crave his things more than I crave him. When I want his blessings more than I want him. Because the word tells us, if we seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then all these things will be added to us. We won't have to go and follow after things. Things will follow us. So we have to deny ourselves and live a separated life. We have to quit opening ourselves up to things that give us an opportunity for unbelief. This will cause our faith not to be stronger, but purer. It will not be diluted with unbelief. Sometimes, in order to get rid of the unbelief, we can't listen to the same things we've been listening to. Sometimes there are people you can't listen to as much as you've been listening to. Because conversations with them brings unbelief. So we have to watch what we hear, what we see, because all of that is unbelief coming in. In order for our faith to be effective, we have to get rid of the unbelief. We have to have less unbelief. Jesus told his disciples their unbelief was the problem, because the only faith we need was as small as a mustard seed, it was sufficient. Unbelief can come by what we see and hear. Like the disciples trying to heal the young boy of seizures, what they saw with their eyes coming from the crowd and the people and coming from the young boy affected their faith and caused them to have thoughts of unbelief. Abraham, on the other hand, did not consider what he saw when he looked at his body and Sarah's body. He didn't take the thoughts of unbelief. What we see and hear can cause fear, which can result in unbelief. Things can look contrary to what you are praying for. Things can look contrary to what you are praying for. And when they look contrary to what you're praying for, then you have a decision to make. Am I going to still believe God? Or am I going to believe what I see? Which would cause us to get into unbelief. There's a saying that seeing is believing. You know, seeing can also call you not to believe. Seeing can cause unbelief. So sometimes things are going to look contrary to what you're praying for. Unless you spent time specifically fighting against this type of unbelief, You will succumb to it. It's not what we see, it's what the Word of God has said. What we see can bring unbelief. What we feel can bring unbelief. That's the thing that kept me from receiving my healing. That's what keeps a lot of people from receiving their healing. Because just because you step out on faith and believe the Word of God and speak the Word of God doesn't mean that automatically, like the snap of a finger, all the sickness is going to go. It doesn't mean at the snap of a finger, everything's going to change in the natural where you're seeing. And if you allow what you're seeing to affect you, if you're allowing what you're seeing and feeling to dictate to you, you're going to still be walking in unbelief and not faith. We got to believe it when we don't see it, when we don't feel it. I had to learn that, and I'm still learning to believe the Word of God, whether I see it, whether it looks like it or not, but believe it, whether I feel like it or not. So things can look contrary to what we're believing. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about the different types of unbelief and what we need to do to get rid of those types of unbelief. And I'm going to share a revelation that God showed me a few weeks ago that goes along with getting rid of one of those types of unbelief. But unbelief can be a problem that makes our faith ineffective. And we have to deal with it. Sometimes we don't like dealing with things, but we got to deal with it. Sometimes we have problems and we don't want to deal with them. But we have to deal with them. And Holy Spirit will sometimes come and kind of highlight something that we need to deal with. And if you need to deal with it, just deal with it by the help of the Holy Spirit. Allow God to help you deal with it. Don't pretend that there's not a problem. Don't pretend you don't have a problem. Because what? The problems could be a fact, but they're not truth. Truth will trump the fact every time, every time, every time, every time. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for those that are here to hear the word today. In spite of the interruption with the sound system, God, we still thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And God, I'm so glad that you have us in your heart. You have us in your heart. You have us in your heart. We were sent here. We're here on earth because you sent us here. We're here because you are the one that ordained that we be here. So God, we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're the reason, Lord. You're the reason. And you want us all to have a relationship with you and to grow in that relationship with you. And so God, we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We need to see that and believe it. See it with our faith and believe that it's so for us. It's not just so for someone else, but it's so for every believer. Thank you, Jesus. You said, Jesus, that he that was in the kingdom of heaven, that John was great, the greatest apostle, greatest prophet that there was. But you said, even looking at John, he that was least in the kingdom of heaven was greater than John. So God, we thank you. Even someone to consider them leak, consider themselves the least, had the faith that they need to step out of whatever situation they're in by believing and receiving what you've already given. So God, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. There is nothing that has happened. There is nothing that is happening. There is nothing that will happen that will catch you by surprise, that you've not already provided for us a way of escape, that you've not already provided for us a way to receive everything you've given us. So God, we say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The disciples said, increase my faith. And you just told them if they had faith of a grain of mustard seed, that was enough. Let them know their faith didn't need to increase. They just need to get rid of the unbelief. So God, we say like the man said, they had a young boy. Lord, help our unbelief. Help us get rid of all unbelief so we can clearly see the faith that you have put in us. So we can clearly walk by the faith that is in us. But we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by how we feel. We walk by faith and not by what other people say about us or think about us. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. We're the just that live by faith. It's our faith in you, God. It's our faith that's grounded in you and in your word, for you are truth because you are the word. So God, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Father God, that you will continue to bless us with the revelation we need to be all that you have ordained that we are, in Jesus' name. Amen. Any prayer requests? Precious and Paige.